I'm here in the surreal surroundings of the Warren, in that there are some very interesting performance spaces about to be filled by the people that I'm going to talk to, and also the sun is shining, which is a very weird thing in the UK. Yeah. And I'm here with Zach and Vigo, and the show is called Thunder Flop. And I'm going to ask you a real stinker of a question, because it says it's written by Zach and Vigo. So I'm going to ask how you write physical comedy.
Ooh, that's a good question. Writing physical comedy is a bit difficult, but it's exciting because you write it on stage. So for me, I guess our kind of rule is if we all just hang out all the time, and that's how we generate material. And if it makes us laugh, we'll think about it for a few seconds and be like, all right, should we try this again on stage someday? And so we'll try it on stage, maybe come up with a few beats. Usually 60% of it we'll throw away. Sometimes we'll keep 60%, and then we'll be like, all right, oh, cool, we'll try this, and you try it the next night, and then, you know, maybe you have two good nights, and then the third night it bombs, and you question the entire thing, which then puts you into more of a discovering, explorative place, and then the fourth time you go out there, if it's any good, usually you start to, like, all right, we're finding our rhythm, and then maybe about 10 times, 11 times, it's locked in pretty good.
Oh, I have one.
When we did our preview in
Can I just stop you then? So can you start in Norwegian and then become English?
Så når vi hadde preview-show vårt I Oslo, så did we try to make a show the day before, and then I had a number where I ate grapes, and that number was so bad, so we never did it again. But most of the show stuck, and it got better and better. During Edinburgh, 30 shows, it just got better. But no more grapes eating on stage. That didn't work.
So as writer is a physical comedy, I mean, is there a script, or is it written in your memory and there's just an agreement between you?
You can come up with a script. It's more of a set list. It's more of like a stand-up set list in the sense that our script looks like employees, mouse, saxophone, claw, you know, kiss cam, stuff like that. But then if you really want to get into it, like, so for the saxophone, for example, there's the individual beats. So the beat is called, the sketch is, or scene is called saxophone, but then, you know, I walk in with a guitar case and then pull out the guitar case, and there's a ukulele case, and you pull out the ukulele case, and then there's a shoe, and then inside the shoe is a saxophone. So already those are like three beats within it. And then there's the music comes on, and you do all these things. So you could write it out like that, but there's no dialogue, and then people just get confused. Because if it's not working, we'll cut it. And so people are like, well, you didn't do that shoe thing. I'm like, well, yeah, it wasn't funny, so I stopped doing it before we got there.
Time to surprise the director, Johnny Woolley.
Hey, yes.
These two guys, I've never met them before, but they look to me to be fairly undirectable.
Yeah,
so true.
My job is actually really easy, because I came in at the beginning of Edinburgh last year. I studied with these guys at Ecole Philippe Goyer in France. And my job is basically to tell them when something's funny and when something's not funny. So I came in, and there was some things that were really good and some things that had to go.
So
and
let me ask you, what about the grapes?
The grapes?
That was the wine one, yeah.
They had to go.
Yeah.
Definitely had to go.
So you're a bit of an editor.
Yeah, in a way, an editor. Yeah, these guys throw a lot of stuff at the wall. We'll all make stuff up together, and yeah, when we make each other laugh, we try it out. And then if I can see something that works in there, I'll say, this is what we can build a sketch around. This is a good idea. And then they just keep playing with stuff, and I'll say yes and no, and yes and no, and then we have a number.
I love the way Americans pronounce French things. That's great. So, guys, where's the women?
My parents have been asking me the same thing.
Is this necessary that you're all guys?
No. We have... So this is just because the three of us are just best friends, and we kind of sectioned ourselves off in school and, like, realized we made the stupidest jokes, and people just couldn't tolerate hanging out with us. So we started doing this. But then we were just filming some TV show, or we were filming a pilot back in Los Angeles, and in that, we have not boys. this immediate crew, but there's no... Actually, you know, no, we're going to take a stance. This is a boys-only club. Only boys in the audience. We want no girls. It's time to bring back all male theater. I'm ready for it.
That's what we need, more white male theater.
Yeah.
In the world of religion, if the quote said, well created, either you put me like God or Richard Dawkins, that's kind of high praise. You've got high praise from Dr. Brown here.
Yes.
But, you know, when you try and set a bar, do you set a bar of excellence, and you know what that excellence is in your work?
I can answer that.
Yes.
Because I feel we set a high bar of excellence, something we learned from our teacher, Philippe Goyer, because if you heard about him, he runs this clown school in France, and he is so mean, or he lets you stay on stage for 5 seconds and then say, no, is it boring? Yes, it is, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
So we're from a background where if it's not funny,
if it's not great, it's terrible.
Yeah. So you do say, you go to the place of pain and go, no, we just need to keep working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did one number in LA. We did it 5 times in 5 cabarets. And we thought it was something there. So the 4th time we started building. 5th time, The Claw, which is now our opening number in the show. Mm-hmm. And the 6th time, it was... Yeah, I love that number. It's my favorite number.
So Zach, take me into your rehearsal room.
No, our rehearsal room. Basically, it's wherever we're being put up for whatever festival, whatever place we're playing. In LA, we were staying at my place, and our rehearsal room is we have a bunch of note cards on the wall, or we just write a bunch of our ideas on pieces of paper and put it in a bowl, and we pass this bowl around, and one at a time, whoever pulls it out, you have to do whatever it is to your best of your ability, no judgments, whatever it means to you, and we'd say, okay, like Johnny was saying earlier, all right, let's try that. Okay, and we have this idea from another number, so we have like this cheese number and then this rabbit number. Okay, is there a way we can... maybe to the bunny. Oh, no, maybe this cheese works better with the mouse. And like, all right, then we connect that and that. And then, like Vigo said, we'll go out, we'll try it on stage, we'll try it in front of an audience. Luckily, in Los Angeles, you can do shows, 3 or 4 shows a night, 7 nights a week, in front of other performers and people. So it doesn't matter how bad you are, you know, no one will ever see it. And so you get, yeah, and that's the thing, too, with Philippe, was what he taught us is we're always going to be bad. So if you can enjoy being bad, because everyone's good at being good, but if you can enjoy being bad, it makes the rehearsal and the creation process not tedious or like, oh, we have to write new stuff. It's exciting. And then also, too, we're like, oh, man, like, did you realize, like, how big of a shit was that I did tonight? Like, that was awful. And so you celebrate it, and then that feeds into the writing process and takes you back.
But then when you perform it, and I guess you're hearing, good response, I hope, from an audience, does the enjoyment change in its quality for you?
If it's going well. Yeah, oh, I mean, of course.
Are you actually having fun, or is it hard work?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that we decided, or at least I was in an acting conservatory before this, and everything was so serious, and it was like work and work and work, and realized I never had fun once. But this, like, people said to us, and I think this was a cool thing that you learned from Gaulier, is when we started doing our show, our numbers were still good, but they weren't great, but we had the most fun always on stage together. And if you're having fun, we're on your side, and you can get away with anything. So then the trick is then after that, being able to make them, you know, bring the material up to the level of pleasure you're having on stage. But for us, I mean, at least for me, there's nothing funnier or nothing more exciting than looking across stage at him, at Vigo, or looking at Johnny in the audience when things are going well, because it's just like, oh, we're doing this. This is the thing. We're doing it right now.
Get this one, Zach. Vigo, is there a clown tradition in Norway?
Oh, no. If you say clown, people think flowers and big shoes, and we're not that.
So did you have to escape to do what you want to do?
Yes, I had to escape to France. But I just wanted to tell about finding stuff when people laugh. We have one thing when I pick up a coin from my suit and I have no pockets. And one day people just love that. So we just kept on doing that maybe 10, 15 times in a row. So if people like it, we will just continue doing it because the clown is always listening to the audience. Yeah.
And what's the deep concept underneath Thunder Flop?
Oh, you ready for this? So we, last minute, after going back and forth, whether or not we should do PBH Free Fringe for Edinburgh last year, we decided to do it. And we're like, oh, shoot, like, we need a name. And our first name was Zach and Vigo Imagination, which was awful. It was like, we're going to make an improvised imaginary nation, which I'm so happy we didn't do. But this one was like, all right, let's say a word on three. So the first time we did 1, 2, 3, we got folding armchair. And then the second time we did it, I said thunder and Vigo said flop. And we're like, all right, yeah, cool, we'll take it. And then all these people were like, yeah, thunder flop. That's like strong.
Let's make the name of the next show now. We say a word each on three. Yeah? Okay. One, two, three. Sunny.
Super fun.
Super fun, sunny. Sunny, super fun?
Sunny, super fun.
Sunny, super fun.
Oh, super funny, sunny.
Super funny, sunny.
It's a horrible name. Let's never talk about it ever again.
So you guys say, I'm just looking at your boy beards there. I've got far more grey in mine. You know, PBH Free Fringe, which I love. But then, same fringe, you know, pyjama men playing enormous stages, you know, tickets £25. Mm. What do you have a journey to greatness in terms of commercial success?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So this year it's exciting. We just joined up with the London-based label Dead Man, who do East End Cabaret and Marcel Leconte, Tessa Waters, Stuart Bowden. And we are going to be going to Underbelly. We're going to Underbelly in Cowgate this year, which is really
exciting. Signed with the Sony of physical comedy.
Yes. I mean, for us, all of our heroes are Dead Man or Don't Be Lonely. And so we were like, if we can land with any of those guys, you know, Steph Brochi and Tom Velvick, they produce some pretty amazing shows. Yeah. And then I actually just started my own label in LA called Stamptown. And from doing the Australian festivals, doing Adelaide and Melbourne Comedy Fest, we've added a few people. And we want to do that same thing. So I guess the long goals are labels. We want to run our own venue someday. We just filmed a TV show in the States. We filmed 2 pilots, and we performed at Comedy Central and performed an hour there. And so I think now we're in the bit where things are, like, cooking on the side, and it's when they come up, when you know, when they come to fruition and it's ready to go, I think we're going to have a pretty nice package to give out there. But yeah, then we sell out immediately, go live on an island, and just never do this ever again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready to sell out.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I would maybe.
And so, in terms of shows that you've got going, there's this one. Have you already got another one? Have you got another one in mind? Is there an artistic, you know, journey going on here?
We've got two. There's one is our next show that
we've
want.
Got two.
We've got two. We have. Well, I guess live. Yeah. Well, this is just live shows. Live shows. We want. We have our next one is called Super Fun Party Boat, and that was based off of our friend Alexandra. And that one we've already just been like, we're done with Thunderflop. We want to do something new and something more, you know, gritty and a bit more not dangerous, but like more risky. That was one of the notes that Phil, Dr. Brown, gave us.
What's wrong with dangerous?
Oh, I guess, yeah, well, yeah, we want dangerous. I just, not like we're putting people in harm, you know, I just didn't want people. Well, I mean, maybe, who knows? That's our next show, like, just throw knives at people.
But yeah, Dr. Brown said.
No. Yeah, Dr. Brown, he wanted us to be more risky and dangerous, which I think we've incorporated in Thunderflop. But then the next show is, I've started working on a solo show called Human Person, and the two of them, Johnny and I wrote it, and Vigo and Johnny are both going to be in it, and it's this really exciting, kind of buffonish social commentary of, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. I mean, Donald Trump's going to be our president, and like, you know, that this is a world that we're about to enter, so we have a lot of material to work off of.
So, final question then. In terms of, you play Brighton Fringe, and tonight you're going on stage tonight,
yeah.
And you have to go into a space you haven't performed in before. What's going on in those few minutes before you go on stage that the audience don't see, and how do you just? It's a bit funny expression, but how do you claim the space so that it's a different space and it's entirely yours for the time you're in there?
For me at least, when we first come out and we look at the audience, that's when the connection with the audience, at least for me, starts. I think, yeah, it's impossible to prepare until you see the audience.
Yeah,
but English people don't do eye contact unless they're drunk.
Well, in this show, we try to look at them, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a bar out here, so people get pretty drunk before they come in. Yeah. But for me, my favorite bit is always setting up the show, because I love, like, it's cool, you know, when people quote-unquote make it, you have a stage manager and people who wrangle your stuff, but I don't know, there's something nice about checking every prop and knowing, okay, this is here, and you see, like, all right, yeah, this has our brand, this has our name all over it. Yeah, and so you make it your own. Each venue is obviously totally different, but we bring that, whatever Zach and Vigo is, to it and turn it into, like, all right, for now, for the next hour, this is our space. And, like, we want you to come in here, and we want you to have a great time, a fun time, and, like, let's just get wild and silly together.
Zach, Vigo, yeah. Johnny, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.